Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 53, and this week's guest is Ian Burton. Ian comes to talk with us about his pinhole photography workshops. Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is show 53. This is going to be our last show of the year. We're going to be taking a break in April. So we'll be back on Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day. Is that right, Andrew?
Well, maybe. I don't know. You're in Boston. You're in Boston. I'm in Boston. It'll be somewhere around there.
The cosmos is aligning.
Both we have a guest lined up, except that he thinks he's going to be on the week before, so I need to speak to him.
Yeah.
And if you can get some audio from Worldwide Pinhole in Boston, that would be great.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I may there's maybe three or four of us going to be in Boston in the UK, so I'll just take my iPhone, and when we stop somewhere for coffee, I'll have a chat with folks. Maybe we can cobble together some audio from the two World Pinhole Days.
So there might not be a show that day. It might be the next day. Maybe
I can't.
We'll see.
I don't know. It's far too. It's weeks away. I can't think that far ahead.
But we, if we disappear for a couple of weeks, we are coming back with some big. Just some changes.
I don't know. It's been an awesome year. Yeah. I look back at the guests we've had. You know, and we've got another super special guest tonight, just to top it all off.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure,
Ian Burton.
Hello, Ian. How are you doing?
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Corey.
Hey.
So you're the second. I nearly said Geordie. I mustn't say it. You're the second person from the Northeast I've interviewed this week. So
you are trying to get a good bite, aren't you, Andrew?
He is. I'm telling you, man.
And you're both bearded people. So I was speaking to Graham Vasey earlier in the week, and his beard is much more impressive than yours, Ian. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I've had to trim it back a bit. It's it's practically summer temperatures here, so it's getting a bit warm.
Graham has creatures living in his.
Oh dear!
Yikes! He does have a big beard. I saw the picture of him
in the river,
the creek side there. Yeah,
with his spindly tripod. He's got this 8x10 camera on this spindly tripod. Yeah. We've had a fantastic year, and it's good to just take a little breather.
Yep.
There's a few changes in the air for when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Corey and I think we agree that we've got occasional co-hosts are going to come on with us probably once a month. You're with me on this, aren't you, Corey? I'm not just saying stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe more. We don't know. We're going to see. Maybe if we can find someone in the States.
Yeah, I've got two English English lady pinholers lined up, and they're both kind of agreed. So Tina Rowe is going to come on periodically, and so is Kai Lewis, who both have been guests. So they can come on once a month, and we're going to chit-chat with those guys. And then we're going to try and find another co-host in the States to come on periodically. So that once a month, there'll be three of us, I would think.
Yep.
So that's an interesting change. And then we'll just carry on much in the same way with super guests.
And hopefully we're going to be getting some merchandise, some fun stuff. And we're going to get to being a proper podcast, I guess, with all kinds of fun stuff. You know?
Yeah, personalized leather goods, whips, and gimp masks. I think Corey's got lined up.
I got all kinds of exciting things coming. Just you wait.
but
we'll talk about that later. We want to talk to you, Ian. Ian, how long have you been? Well, before we get there, do you want to talk about the pinhole workshops, or
we could, we can start there if you like. That's no problem. Happy to go with that.
We'll start with the most recent thing and work our way back. So by the end of the show, you can tell us what got you in the pinhole. So, am I doing that wrong, Andrew?
You are, but I won't bother correcting you now. It's like, you know that feeling when you get to the end of term and you're kind of was it, you're D-mob happy? That was the expression, isn't it? So I'm D-mob happy. We're going to have a break. And if you want to interview Ian backwards, that's fine.
Let's do it.
Bit of regression, yeah.
Yeah, let's take you back in time and psychoanalyze you and see how far we
are. Cracking you down.
Cool, get messy. Break you down.
So what, as far as the pinhole workshops go, do you got, I'm not familiar with them. I mean, is it just like a regular, you know, a regular photography workshop, but you just...
Here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity, Ian, to tell everyone all
to
about
tell everyone about the workshop.
How you got into them, how you got started, what sort of things you offer, how the websites have developed, and yeah, crack on.
Yeah, it's, I always joke with Andrew, and he does as well, that we're possibly the worst marketers in the world for any sort of business. But I mean, then again, we don't consider our workshops a business. It's very much come from a like a pleasurable background. And it was a couple of years ago we decided that we never noticed any pinhole workshops being offered to general public. And we'd been doing it a few years beforehand, and we just thought, well, why don't we just set something up, just see how it goes. I think we advertised on the likes of Facebook and Twitter if anybody was interested in doing a group workshop. And it was set up in Whitby at the time. And we got a few bites and held a workshop. I think it was with 4 participants. And the day went really well. We had a bunch of enthusiastic photographers there, and they were embracing the pinhole photography. So we sort of took it from there.
So that, Ian, that very first one, did people have to bring pinhole cameras with them? Were you offering to lend them stuff, which I know you do now? Or have you involved making pinhole cameras? How did it all sort of evolve for the first one?
To be honest, we had an offer at the time with James Guerin, and it was to purchase some of his cameras, and he was kind enough to offer us a slight discount so we could pass that on participants.
He's nearly as mercenary as Mike Walker, isn't he? Yeah. Well, I'm not sure anyone could be quite as Mike Walker.
No, he's quite prolific, isn't he?
He doesn't listen to this. We can give him some abuse.
You'll be surprised.
But James is a wonderful person. You can send us all the cameras you want, James.
Yeah,
he was very kind to do that offer to kickstart the workshops off. And
so, what did he offer you then? What did you end up buying from him?
He gave us a discounted price on his pinholes, and I think I can't exactly remember what we got at the time. I think it was a couple of 6.6s and a 4.5. And to be honest, the participant was lucky to get the 4.5, because when I received it, I was a bit taken by it, to be honest.
It's the one you've got, Corey, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
It does look nice. I can't afford to buy any more, but anyway, it does look good.
I've shot with mine a little bit. I'm still working out the extreme vignetting, you know, going on with it and having to give it some extra time, you know. But that's all right. I like it. I like the rise and the fall. And you can actually do shift functions with it when you're shooting in, in horizontal and vertical.
We'll have to get you on as a guest on the large format photography podcast.
Who, Corey? Ian?
No, Corey.
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway, Ian, we're desperately trying to put you off your stride here, so carry on.
You're doing very well. No, I mean, so where were we?
So you had your cameras. You had your cameras from James Guerin. You had some people say they were going to turn up. So I guess at that point you think, well, actually, presumably they're paying you some money, or were you doing it, or you like drug dealers and just offering the first one free?
the first hit for free. No, we did charge for the workshop. We kept it cheap and cheerful, because obviously we didn't know how well it was going to be received and what the interest would be like, because it is a very niche thing to offer as a workshop. And we have found that over time that it's not going to be a roaring success with every workshop we offer. We're under no illusion that that would be anything otherwise. And what we always say is, first and foremost, what we do it for is the love of the of pinhole. We're not in it to make a quick buck.
So that very first one, how much planning had you done? Because it's all very well going on Facebook and saying, well, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this podcast, but then you, not podcast, what is it, workshop. And then you get people really wanting to do it and give you real money. You've got to, at least the panic must start setting in then, think, well, actually, what are we going to do? Or had you got all that worked out?
Yeah, we had it all worked out. The first one was held in Whitby, and we held there because we knew the location at the back of our hands. Mm. And for the pinhole, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's anybody who comes into it fresh, that there's plenty of subjects to shoot. And
are you down on the coast or up at the Dracula Abbey?
Seaside, maybe.
It's on the coast. I mean, you know it, Andrew. It's a fishing town. So you've got the pier, you've got the coast. Further inland, you've got the abbey. So.
The Abbey Corrie is where Bram Stoker, who wrote Dracula, was supposed to have set his. Is it where the body's supposed to have arrived? Where Dracula's supposed to have arrived into Whitby?
I think it says, yeah,
something like that. Anyway, Bram Stoker took his inspiration from Whitby. I know Robin Hood's Bay, which is just next door, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, not too far away. I think it's about another 10-minute drive from Whitby.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, Corrie, it's on the coast.
Nice. That's good.
So you met these on the very first workshop. Then you stood there and you arranged to meet. And what? How did that go? That first workshop.
Sam Dodgers meeting in a car park.
Yeah. just give a random spot. Said, okay, this is where
I just. I know what you Geordies are like.
How dare you? No, I mean. It was easy.
So you went on. So let me get this straight. You went online,
yeah,
and you arranged to meet a bunch of strangers in a car park.
I told you it was Sam Dodgy, didn't I?
and on the guise of starting a pinhole workshop.
Yeah.
But that how long? That was what, a year ago?
A couple of years ago now. We're in the third year, I think it is, of doing the workshop. So it's a little while ago.
So you got a better reception than you guys were thinking.
We did, yeah. Yeah, we were quite surprised.
Has it changed much from that very first one? Since you did that first one, how many workshops have you held now?
We're very sporadic with our workshops. We don't sort of do them routinely. Okay. So off the top of my head, I might do four to five, maybe six if we're feeling up to it in a year. But we do offer one-to-one workshops as well.
Cool.
And what's a typical workshop look like, Ian, from start to finish?
Well, obviously, meeting in the car park.
That's the most exciting bit.
Sometimes it can be, yeah. It depends on the weather. We tend to send out an itinerary of what the day is going to be like to the participants beforehand, so they can get a bit of a flavour of what it's going to be like. And we do pretty much stick to that. There's been some times where we haven't been able to because of the weather. I think the best example was one we held in Northumberland, and the weather just turned really grotty. And being outside, it was a bit wet, to say the least, so we sort of had to improvise a bit. And fortunately, we did bring darkroom chemicals with us, and we were able to go back to the cottage where we were staying and do a bit of a darkroom workshop there while we waited for the weather to clear out.
That's so was this a pinhole workshop where you'd hired a cottage as well? Is that?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a 2-day workshop.
Ah, fantastic.
But it turned out to be really good weather for it, to be honest, and we got some really interesting photographs out of it.
That Northumberland coast is awesome because you've got lots of, Corey, there's lots of Norman castles there, castles going back to like the 10th and 11th centuries or so, 11th centuries, and one or two of them are in really good condition. Some of them are like ruined castles. So, you know, you've got some dramatic subjects, haven't you, to photograph?
Yeah,
and it's you've got the industrial backdrop as well.
Yeah, if you go to the southern end of Northumberland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, looking through your gallery on the Pinhole workshop page, I see black and white, color.
Yeah.
Lots of really wide shots.
Some 6x12.
Yeah, some looks like you're using some really wide, a few wide, wide cameras and a few maybe that are more standard length. Do you let us tell everybody kind of what do you like to shoot the most, Ian?
I like to shoot wide with the Zero 2000. It was the first pinhole camera I actually bought, so I think I've got more of an affinity with that one, and I feel a lot more comfortable using it. Right. I do have James's 6.6 as well, but that's I just always think that's got a crazy field of view to that one, and still trying to get used to it, to be honest.
We all have a crazy field of view, don't we?
Yeah. And I mean, I've got, I think when you're looking through those pictures, I've got a couple taken on, I think it's the iSolar, the Agfa iSolar that I converted.
Cool.
And is that the one you're selling on your website?
Yeah, we have, I'm trying to think, is it still on the website, to be honest?
Well, I see the word shop on somebody's website, and I can't help but clicking on it. Yeah, so there's an Agfa iSolar with yellow filter. Oh, you've got four of them available, it says here.
Yep.
So it's 6x6, 75mm, yeah, so that's a little bellows camera. So you put a pinhole on it, f2.56. If you can buy it with workshop for £50 or with no workshop for £70.
You're going to get one, Andrew? You definitely need a workshop.
I know, yeah. No, I will go. I will. I'd like to do some photography up on the northeast coast, and I think it would be great to meet up with Ian.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, it'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Who is this on your gallery? There's a picture of a Jedi, and then
Jedi.
Yeah, there's a man and a little guy standing beside him. Is that
that's Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker
and a little Yoda?
That's a great picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's a great picture
because normally you see those that sort of jetty come discharge thing, whatever that is, poking into the North Sea. You see that sort of shot quite a bit, but having that guy and his presumably son there makes it. It's great. Did you position them there? Are they inflatable people, or did you know? Like, did you say stand there?
Did you bring them with you like Diane?
No, it was very impromptu, really. This was from the pinhole workshop we did in Northumberland, and I had originally set up without anybody in the picture, and then a dad and his son just came in front of me. They asked, "Is it okay to go out in the front?" I said, "Yeah, it's no problem. I'm only just setting up," and I just had the thought in my mind that it'd look a lot better with somebody in it, so I quickly set up and guessed an exposure turn, and fortunately enough, I think it was a couple of seconds, the exposure. I was just fortunate that the boy actually stood quite still.
I was about to say, the water around you is kind of moving, so you can see it was a little bit of an exposure, but they must have just stood there and stared for a second.
Yeah, it's not like 30 seconds, is it? Because you can still see the water. It's not blurred into that sort of
smoothiness.
Smoothiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, but that would be maybe your next challenge, Ian, is to Zeb Andrews, who's a former guest on the show. He's been posting some images of long exposures where he's been the main subject in the photograph, and he stood still. He said his longest time is 20 minutes. Minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, like, you can stand on the end of that, whatever that is, for 20 minutes. You've got to be really still. In fact, not move at all.
Yeah.
And then you'll get all that beautiful, you know,
that movement around it. Yeah.
Milky water.
And just bring a chair.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have some crazy patience to do that kind of thing, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
20 minutes, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure I could stand still for that long, mind you.
So do you do much 4x5 larger format, or do you stick with, are you more of a 120 just for...
No, I'm 120. I've dabbled with the 4x5. I borrowed Andrew Atkinson's Noon, I think it was. And that was the first time I'd actually exposed any sheets.
Right.
And, I mean, I thought that the field of view on the medium formats was vast, but when you start with a large format, it's another experience altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I quite liked it, the first one I took, but I did massively underexpose as well. So it's another thing you have to consider with large format, isn't it? You have to really... pull out the exposure lens.
Especially if you're going to be using a camera that has a really, really short focal length, you know? Like James's 4x5, that one's got to pay attention to it. So,
yeah.
I haven't shot with the Zero, but Andrew, you have a Zero 4x5, don't you?
Yeah, it was the first pinhole camera I bought years and years ago. And then I didn't shoot with it much, but then I picked up that book that we spoke about last week by Steve Gosling, who shoots on the coast, maybe some up near your way, Lensless Landscapes. Are you familiar with that?
I've not got his book, but I've seen examples of it, and he I think he shoots a lot of stuff around Whitby, hasn't he?
He does, yeah. His stuff is all with the Zero camera, mainly... Pan F, which I really love to shoot. I haven't shot much recently, but so that kind of got me hooked. And for quite a while, I just shot with the Zero and Pan F, and I like it. The camera I bought was the unmodified version. It didn't have the cable release thing, so I went onto the Zero website and bought both the spirit level adapter, which you have to sort of glue on or screw it on, and then the little adapter for the cable release, which I bought separately. So you can, if you've bought one of these Zero cameras and you buy one online and it just has the manually operated shutter, you can go to Zero website and buy the kit to turn it into a one with a cable release. Now, you know, James's cameras don't have that cable release function, and it'll say you don't need it because you don't. But you know what? I still quite like that cable release. I think, you know, James's camera is easy to operate. I think Todd Schlemmer's camera is probably easier to operate without a cable release. But the Zero probably needs a cable release, to be honest, and it does work well. So I like to use the Zero for those times when I don't want to get any movement at all, no risk of movement, and that's when it comes into its own.
Yeah, I must admit, I would love a cable release on mine, because I've started experimenting a bit more with filters, and I had to do a bit of a Frankenstein filter system for the Zero, so right. I got a piece of flooring underlay to use as a gasket against the body, so it would lift the filter over the front of the shutter.
Yeah.
But the only problem you obviously have is you've got to open the shutter and close it, and introduces a bit of shake still.
Mm-hmm. So are you just using like red filters to bump up contrast, or are you using neutral densities?
I haven't used any neutral densities to date. I use a lot of the red filtration and the orange. I'm trying to think if I've used the yellow. I don't think I've used the yellow one as yet, but I have got it.
Right.
See, the very latest iteration of the Zero pinhole camera is a world away from the one I bought. So it's got the lovely little spirit level on the top, which I bought separately. It's got the two brass knobs, which are, I think I'm looking at a 6x6. I can't tell what this is. But then it's got the cable release, and then it's got the filter. So it's got a raised area above the shutter, like you were talking. You've used foam carpet underlay.
Yeah.
These guys have crafted one out of wood.
Excuse me.
And then it's got a 52 mil filter ring glued into it. So, yeah, the looks like the latest Zero cameras are very well specified.
Yeah, I think that is that the Back to Nature ones.
Have you made any cameras, Ian? Do you make your own pinholes, or are you just around with that?
I've doubled. I modified, like I mentioned here, the Agfa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was relatively straightforward doing that one. And I have dabbled with a cardboard 4.5. So I've used the positive paper. Mm-hmm. I think it's Harman, isn't it, that do mm-hmm. the positive paper. So I've used that a couple of times. I've not really pushed it much further. I think I did that a couple of years ago for Pinhole Day.
Is that the pictures on your Flickr web? On your Flickr, there's a shot that there's four different images inside of it. One of a pier.
Is it quite like a wavy looking picture? Is it?
Yeah.
It will be. Yeah, it was quite an interesting process, both making it and using some paper.
I thought those were they look almost like Polaroid lifts or something at first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see, Andrew, did you see that camera that Heather made, that big giant tube?
I did.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off subject again. I just thought about it. That's crazy. It's like five feet tall.
So she's got this life-size. Yeah, she must be using roll paper.
Yeah.
Somebody asked her how she scans it. And I did smile because clearly she's not scanning it, but she I think she'll just be exhibiting it as negatives because that's what she does. Are you familiar with Heather's work, Heather O'Klaus, Ian?
I'm not entirely sure of it, but I think I might have actually come across that picture. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it where she was stood next to it? Yeah.
It is. Yeah. She came on the podcast to chat with us last summertime, maybe.
A while ago, yeah.
And she has a yellow van. Lorry truck,
like a box van.
Yeah, she calls it Little Miss Sunshine.
Ah, yes.
And you can find her on YouTube, and she drives this truck around and parks up against, I say, a gas station, and she has a pinhole on facing the gas station, and on the other wall of the van, she has a matrix of 10x8 holders where she puts Ilford multi-grade paper. So she ends up with this mural, which I don't know how I can't remember how big it is, but it's pretty big.
It's probably 6 feet tall by 10 feet wide or so.
Yeah,
pretty big.
And then she develops all these sheets of paper and displays them in galleries as a whole image, but as a matrix. But she displays them as a negative, doesn't she, Curry?
Big giant negative, yeah.
And it's quite interesting because you look at it and your mind. Doesn't I mean it kind of registers it's negative, but you kind of look at it as though it was you kind of accept it, you know, as though it's a positive image. So I think Heather's probably just displaying it as a negative, but she could lay another sheet of photographic paper against it and just make a contact print, couldn't she? I guess
use your car headlights to
yeah
take it to the wall,
shine a torch all over the back of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're not fancied doing a life-size pinhole camera, Ian, up in...
Out of a vehicle.
A vehicle, no, or in Northumberland?
No, not quite. I'm not that advanced with DIY pinholes.
Yeah.
No, I'm just embarking on doing more with DIY, but it's a slow journey. Ian, on your... folks, if you want to, as we normally do, try and give you a steer as to where to see Ian's work, we're mainly looking on the website, which is called Pinhole Photography Workshops.
Mm-hmm.
.co.uk, and you can ignore Andrew Atkinson's website gallery because he was too chicken to come on and talk to us.
And if you're wondering what Ian looks like, if you go to the page that says tutors, there's two pictures there that look amazing of each one of these guys, of Ian and Andrew. Go take a look at that.
I haven't seen that bit. But I have met both these characters in real life, or briefly.
Yeah, I met the, was it last week, wasn't it?
At the photography show, yes. But we met early in the day, and then you disappeared, or we disappeared, and I never saw you again. It was...
Yeah, it's quite surprising, isn't it? You think you pass each other quite regularly, but we were there for most of the day as well. But
where was that again?
Birmingham. Birmingham. Oh,
right. Okay. Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham.
Birmingham? I don't like Birmingham.
Oh, you'd love this one.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was a good day. In this, in your pinhole photography workshops gallery, Ian, a few pictures down, there is the shiny rocks with the misty water and a bit of a castle ruin poking up.
Just
tell me where that is, because that looks familiar. I think I might have been there. But what's that? Do you know what that little castle thing is? Where is that?
It's Northumberland again. Yep. It's Dunsinborough Castle.
Yes, I've camped just near there. There's a beach at the front.
Yeah.
And there's a campsite behind it. Yeah. I love Northumberland. Yeah. We had a holiday there a few years ago, and it rained for 48 hours solidly. We were under canvas. And my wife vowed that she would never, ever set foot in Northumberland again, ever, under pain of death. And next year we went to Greece for a holiday in the sun.
No, I must admit, every time I go to Northumberland, the weather does turn rather dramatic. It's rare that I go there and it's beautiful and sunny.
Yeah, but that's the best pictures are made. I mean, that image presumably with your 0-2000, and you know, it's a classic kind of composition, but you've done really well. You know, it's a pinhole camera after all, and you can't see really what you're doing, and you've just nailed it with that. Are you making prints in, or are these all negative scans?
Just negative scans. I've probably a cold name for this, but don't read too much in the dark room. I should do. I've only done it the once, and I wasn't put off. It was just basically down to sheer cost, and I've ended up getting an Epson scanner, and I've not sort of entertained going to the dark room again, but I should do, really. I should try it.
Well, even if you make contact prints, you know, it's not, you know, you like...
Yeah, they're easy.
And you don't need a lot of equipment, and just to be able to hold that beautiful contact print in your hand. Your mate has been talking with Graham Vasey, the other gentleman from the Northeast, and they both went to the same college to study photography.
Ah, right.
And small world. I was trying to get them. Graham was talking about a community darkroom that had recently closed, I think. I'm not sure where that would be, but I'd say he's in Bishop Auckland. And I was saying, you guys should just, you know, maybe start one up or something, or go and see if you can restart it. Now there's three of you.
Yeah, it'd be cool, that.
Yeah. You could enlarge your... I take no commission for this idea. You can enlarge your pinhole photography workshops. Include, you know, go out shooting one day.
Make contact prints.
Or come back in the evening, and at the very least, make contact prints to people to take away.
Even a contact sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the moment... For the participants, we take their film away, we develop it and scan it, and we just print digitally. But yeah, it'd be great to do something like that.
Yeah.
So you there you go, Andrew. If you ever see Andrew again, if he ever comes back from his stag night, it's not his stag weekend. I've got visions of him being left. Like a solar can strapped naked to a lamppost somewhere with gaffer tape.
All over his mouth. Shush you.
Yeah. If you ever see him again, explore the idea of the darkroom with him.
Yeah, I will do.
Corey, you were about to say something.
I think you should come and do the darkroom part of it, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, I'll be free next year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Take it a step further and do your salt printing.
There you go.
There you go.
Nobody knows more about salt printing than Andrew, right?
Oh, I'm sure there are. Yeah. I'm still fumbling my way.
Salt print extraordinaire.
Now, the other area that people talk about in your neck of the woods, is it, now I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, is it called the Gare or South Gare?
South Gare, yeah.
Gare. Is that like a sort of shingly, weird, beachy area, or what goes on there?
Shingle would be a loose term to use around there. It's horrific what washes up on the shore. It's not a pretty part of the coastline. Yeah. It's a direct contrast to what you get up at the likes of Saltburn and Whitby. You'll get washed up bikes, bits of metal, toys.
Well, that's
cones.
Great. That's great for pinhole, though, isn't it? All the
Yeah, I mean that's a place I struggle to photograph using the digital camera and trying to shoot it in a classical manner. And it wasn't until I tried with the pinhole that I actually got away with the location.
Right.
Like you said, it does lend itself to the industrial look. And it's a bit of an experience trying to shoot there.
Is that an area which has had a lot of industrial heritage then?
Yeah. It was to do with the steel industry. And right on the coast, they've got the fishermen's huts as well. So it's a very interesting place.
That's not red. Is that? Would it be red car type way, or am I miles off?
Yes, it's about a mile or so.
Because I remember visiting steelworks at Redcar years ago.
Yeah.
And also Blythe Power Station as well. That's kind of coal power station. Yeah. Again, 20 odd years ago.
A little bit of vitamin C will solve your shingle problem.
Well, yes. I was thinking of vitamin K. That's what you need for sunshine. Sunshine deficiency is vitamin K, isn't it?
Awesome.
So, Ian, as we were regressing, and Corey did this interview back to front.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, before we get on to what got you started, what's we like to ask questions about. We've asked you questions about your cameras. What about film stocks? What are your
preferred
films to use? Preferred films to use in pinhole?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment I'm using Ilford FP4, and that's a film I started with as well.
Me too.
Strangely enough.
Yeah, me too.
I do enjoy the film. I did go through a phase where I would be using the Pan F. Mm-hmm. I think you said you were using that now, didn't you, Andrew?
Well, I absolutely don't have any in my fridge, but it is one of my favourites. Yeah,
yeah.
My next film purchase is likely to be some Pan F. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I love Pan F for the fact that the exposures are so long, even in the sunny weather. But because I've been using filters a lot more, I've dropped it to the FP4.
Yeah,
and I do like the look of the FP4. It has a lot more grain to it compared to the Pan F.
Just a little bit more speed, huh?
Yeah. And sometimes it just gives you that versatility. Like say, using filters, I can go a bit longer as well if I need to. And when we talked about that picture with the father and his son, that was shot on FP4, so it gave me that choice of either going longer or shorter.
Starting to use a red filter just for the hell of it on most shots now, irrespective, or are you selective about when you're using that red filter?
No, I'm quite selective with that one. I mean, if I don't need it, I won't. It's a lot down to the length of exposure I want to give an image, or whether I need extra contrast in the sky, for example.
Yeah, people also don't always... Well, I'm sure they do at some point, but they don't always think about the effect it's having on the tonality of the picture. You know, if you've got areas of red, you know, what it does to those. And, you know, people use a yellow filter, but that has some effect on the sky, but also, can do things in the shadows as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I went through a phase where I didn't use anything but...
Red
or yellow, yeah. Because I don't know, I just feel like I was getting my negatives were kind of flat, you know, contrast-wise.
Certainly help with that. I love using my red filter, just holding a red filter in front of my Holger, lens camera, not pinhole, but because, if you're going to use a Holger, go all in with the drama, that's what I say. Infrared, Ian, have you? So you're using the red filter. There's a castle here that looks almost. Is this?
Yeah, I was looking at
that
too.
Is this Banbury Castle? I can't.
Oh, which one is this?
You've got your picture of Dunster Castle, whatever it's called. Forgotten already. And then you've got a tree, and then you've got. Below that, you've got the well preserved castle.
Yep, I'm with you now. That was FP4 and a red filter. That one.
Yeah, so it's got that sort of red filter look.
Yeah, that gives that infrared look, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not quite there, is it? But it's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, something I've thought about doing. But again, it's...
I bought a couple of rolls of the Ilford SFX at the photography show last week. They were selling short-dated rolls there. I didn't want to pay £12 a roll. I paid £6, I think.
So yeah, it's a bit expensive.
Yeah, and it's not a proper infrared, is it? It just pushes it a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the same with the Rolly, though.
The Rolly is more infrared than the SFX, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just mean as far as them being true, you know, like not all the way, like the Kodak.
Well, I know, but you can get pictures that people like last week's guest, Mark, is getting, you know, some great.
Yeah.
Infrared effects with the Rolly stuff, but Ian won't. There's no point you wasting your money because
there's no sun.
The sun never comes out in the northeast.
No, that's quite true. But today it is.
There you go.
Everyone is very pale skinned and
will burn straight away.
they don't see any sun. So FP4 is your go-to film. What about the colour? Because you dabble in colour.
Yeah, I've had a go with colour a few times. It's I think I've used Kodak Ektar. I do like that one. It's the colour's a lot more subdued with it. But funnily enough, every time I go to use that one, the day becomes quite dull. The sun seems to pack up its kit and go.
That bench picture on the pier, I guess it's the pier looking into the sunset. It's fantastic.
I think I know the one you're on about. Saltburn.
Yeah, is that Saltburn? So that's where Steve Gosling photographs as well, I think, around there.
Yeah.
Do. And I think he's shot in the same area, but that's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. That might not even be on Ektar. Is it Provia? I think that one might be on.
It's pretty blue and down cool in the shadows.
Yeah, I don't think it's Ektar, that one. I think it's Provia.
Some of the Fuji materials go... Velvia goes a bit bluey in the shadows in the cool areas, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've not used Velvia.
I like that shot of the pier with the little red lighthouse on the end of it. Right above it.
Do you want to have a guess what that was shot on?
No, what was it? I'm horrible at guessing.
No, that one was on the Agfa, the Isola. The converted camera.
Gotcha. That one. What film stock did you shoot that with?
That one, that's definitely Kodak, that one.
Yeah.
Portra 160. I've no idea.
I don't either.
So earlier on, you were going through some kind of impressionistic phase, or weren't you as well? A bit of a Monet. Down the bottom, you've got these colour ones. That you're... What's going on there?
Half a dozen shots there, isn't it? I think it is.
They're even more blurred. They look almost like zone plate type things than pinholes.
Yeah, it's a completely different side to what I normally shoot. And I did them ones.
Are they pinholes then?
Yes, the pinhole. Yeah. It was shot on the digital one, the Thingify.
Oh, okay.
Wait, and changed the pinhole aperture. It was the variable one I was using.
Did you like that little Thingify?
I won't say I'm not a big fan, but you've got to have the right subject to shoot with that one, I've found. A lot of the time, things I've shot, I've just not liked it. You might as well sort of take a lens and just defocus it.
Right.
But for this particular type of images I was looking at, it worked quite well. It was giving me the longer exposures.
Were you? Did you use that for the at the end of the run of the color shots? You have a lighthouse with like a walk going up to the edge of the water, right above the cranes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sort of below the last panoramic one. Yeah. Yeah. That one. Yeah. That was shot on the digital as well. Yeah. And that's more of a straight shot. But I mean, you look at it and it doesn't have the film look.
Right.
You can tell. And I do like the film look. It's a bit more gritty.
Sure. Well, that's cool.
Sorry, mate. Go carry on.
No, I was just going to say, are the rest of that run from the. Rest of those colours, those are all.
Yeah, from then on down, it's all shot on the digital.
I like this one with the tree. Yeah.
There's a few trees.
Yeah.
The sort of goldy brown coloured one with the trunks.
Yeah.
Ian, even more recent to Pinhole Workshops, you've become a vlogger. Is that right?
Yeah. It's been sort of a long time coming. I've been getting it in the ear with Andrew saying, are you going to get the vlogs done? And I'll do it. And I've always sort of been putting off, almost like he's putting off coming on this show. But I did buckle and I got the first one out of the way.
So I have to confess to not having watched it yet. And it's very remiss of me. So if folks, certainly you can access it by your website, I think.
Yeah.
Something there called vlog. I daren't click on it in case it starts playing. But I saw it. It's on YouTube, isn't it? So what have you covered? What have you covered in vlog one?
It's just me talking to the camera, just a basic introduction to what I do and what I shoot and how I'm looking to take the channel forward. There's no actual outdoor shooting as yet. That's gonna come in the next one I do, which might take another 2 years to make at my rate.
What do you hope to do with the channel, Ian?
To be honest, I'm just playing it by ear. Whatever grabs me, whether it's a particular subject or whether I want to sort of vent or, you know, I'll just go with whatever. It's right. Nothing structured.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
Have you watched it, Curry?
No, I'm going to have to go take a look at it, though.
I was aware of it. I could have just winged my way through it and pretended I'd watched it, but I haven't. So I will do that. So go.
He's a horrible person, that Andrew. I'm telling you, if you don't catch him.
Okay. Going back further in time, how did you get to where you are now? What's your journey in photography generally and sort of film and pinhole specifically?
Going back to the beginning, I got into photography. It was back in 2008, I think it was. So I've only been doing it for a little over, coming up 11 years, it will be this year. And it was when my mum died in 2008 that I used some of the money to get a camera. And it's just something that's grown, and I've just been inquisitive in different techniques, going from classical to looking at ICMs. And it wasn't until, I'm trying to think, is it 2014 when I entertained the idea of doing something different from digital. I never thought in a million years I'd be doing pinhole photography. I probably thought about trying a film camera, just shooting in the same style I would do with the digital. But I was looking for something a lot different. I just didn't imagine it'd be pinhole. And it wasn't until I seen some images on the internet. And
you probably saw Corrie's, I expect.
It's quite possible. I couldn't tell you who it was that I seen. When I looked at it, then that I realised it was made using a pinhole, and the rest's history, as they say.
Sure, that's the same way I felt when I first refound pinhole, I guess. You know, I just kind of was like, oh, this is exactly what I've been looking for, you know. And I just fell right into it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people just think it's a bit of a toy, really, isn't it? Passing sort of phase that you do with your photography, but I think it's quite an addictive thing to do.
I agree. I love it.
So have you got people who keep coming back on your workshops? Have you got like stalkers?
It seems to be a running theme, this, with you, Andrew, stalking women and...
you got to watch them.
Yeah, we've had one in particular. I don't think she'd mind me saying her name. A woman called Wendy, and she's... Wendy Chapman, yeah. And she's been out sort of our biggest success and from doing the workshops, and she really does throw herself into it. And... I mean, some of the pictures she gets now they're amazing. Even when she makes some sort of accidents, mistakes with the images, that somehow she manages to create something fantastic.
Awesome. I think Wendy is joining us. I think it's Wendy on our worldwide Pinhole Day meetup in Boston.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice.
UK.
UK version.
Yeah, so on the 28th of April 2019 at 10:30 a.m. what looks like Asda Superstore car park, we're meeting for Worldwide Pinhole Day Boston, UK. Places are unlimited, so at the moment there are Wendy Chapman, there we go, me and Wendy Chapman and Neil Piper. So, please,
alone in the car park.
Yeah. So, Wendy, if you're listening, you're meeting two strange guys in an Asda car park on World Pinhole Day.
It's a pinhole theme meeting in car parks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh dear me. Awesome. No, I think I do understand there might be at least one other person coming along, but come on, listeners, if you can't go to the Boston, USA meetup.
To meet me.
What the heck is wrong with you? You can come to Boston in the UK. So just go on to photowalk.me and sign up. And it's probably just Neil Piper, the thought of meeting him in the flesh, which is putting you off. And so it should. Yeah. Awesome. So well done, Wendy. Yeah, we look forward to meeting you.
Yep. Maybe we can get her on the show sometime.
Ian, why haven't you signed up? You could. Why didn't you come?
More importantly, Ian.
I didn't even know it was on.
Well, I'm telling you now. So on the 28th of April, you go to photowalk.me and register. Your mate Wendy's going.
Yeah.
So come down and we'll do something in Boston. I've no idea what, but we'll do something.
I'll have to check if I'm not washing my hair.
It's not so far away, is it, for you? It's probably
4 hours.
Lincolnshire way, isn't it?
Boston. Yeah, you've probably got a little bit further to drive than I have. Under 2 hours for me, I guess.
Yeah.
What are you planning on shooting in Boston, Andrew? What's there? Is it? It's on the coast, is it?
It's a little bit inland, but there's a river there.
Ooh. A castle? Is there a castle?
There's a KFC.
There you go.
There's a railway station. There's an Asda.
For sure, you know there's an Asda there.
We're probably not selling this terribly well, but we'll do some research, and we'll go for lunch somewhere. We'll walk around, do some pinhole photography.
Sounds fun.
We'll record some audio for the podcast, probably. We might even, the timing's going to get in the way. It would be great if we could do like a live Facebook meetup with the guys who are in Boston, USA, but that's going to be, it's going to be five hours difference, isn't it, still?
I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to fly or drive.
Well, I'm definitely driving.
Yeah. Well,
It would be good to get over to the coast, but I think we're probably just going to stay in Boston because that's where you guys are in a city town, aren't you? In Boston, USA, so Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, it's a really big town.
Yeah, no, I've been.
I haven't been to Boston yet. It's the first time for me. So Boston, get the car.
Get your car.
I'm excited because I want to get a lobster, roll, a sandwich, a poor boy. You know what those are?
Yeah, I know. So I've been. We've been. It's 2012. We've been to New York for 5 days. So it was me and Julie and the two kids in 2012, and we were queuing. We'd spent the day queuing to get onto the island where the where the Statue of Liberty is, I've forgotten the name of it.
Liberty Island.
Yeah, and it was really sunny. And I bought one of those stupid umbrella hats to keep the sun off my head. You know, so it's that.
Please post a picture of you with the umbrella hat on.
Yeah, no, Julie has one somewhere.
Julie?
Yeah, I'll get her to share a picture of it later. Anyway, the upshot was those three guys spent the next 24 hours being sick, and I was really smug because I said, "You've got sunstroke," and I had this stupid hat on. So they were just recovering, and we drove up to New England, not to Boston, but to Sandwich, and we arrived there, and they were just recovering, and we went to a sort of place that did fried fish and lobster and stuff, and they were struggling, and I was. So my appetite was fine, but they were just recovering still. And the next morning, whatever it was that they had, I had as well. So they were down by the beach, and I was just throwing up in the room. So, and they said, you thought you were so smug with your hat on, your umbrella hat, and you've got the same bug that we have. So that's my memory of New England is right. Throwing up.
Hopefully mine doesn't involve any...
And I had no pinhole camera.
Any barfing, so maybe I can get Todd to have a beer drinking contest or something. You know,
I think he's gone all healthy now. Todd Schlemmer is.
He's biking.
I think he's given up pinhole photography. He just cycles everywhere.
Ian, have you? What's your list of worldly travels? Do you get out much?
Not. Not really. I'm pretty much
goes to Newcastle sometimes.
Yeah, I might class that as a foreign travel. Yeah, it's north of the river, so yeah, why not?
he's not even coming to Lincolnshire to see us.
Haven't said no yet. Haven't said no. So, you never know.
Skegness.
I don't know what that is. What's Skegness?
Skeggy.
No, still don't know.
So, when's your next pinhole workshop? If you want to plug that.
Yeah, it's I think it's the 27th of April, and funny enough, it's going to be at the South Gate and Saltburn.
And how do people book onto that?
Just go to our website, go to pinholephotographyworkshops.co.uk, and just visit the workshops tab. And it should be on the
Saltburn list. South Gare, full day.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up right now. Ah. Cool.
Anyway, Ian, you should come to our Worldwide Pinhole Day meetup. And, you can pick up some new customers like Wendy.
I think she's tired of us now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've... Certainly consider coming down. I'll see what Andrew's doing, see if we can organise something.
Be good to see you.
Yeah. So if ever you come up this way as well, look us up.
Well, I do. Yeah, I travel up that way periodically on business. But,
yeah, you're up here quite recently, weren't you?
I was. I've been up a couple of times staying near Beamish Hall.
Yeah.
But on one occasion, I met up with Graham Vasey. But I was up there, I think, a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't have any spare time. Hmm. I do have to work as well.
Spent all this time with Graham.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All righty. Well, shall we
start to wind down?
Got any more questions, Andrew? Or before we get,
I haven't really. Anything before, you want to get off your chest?
Before you insult our guest anymore.
I haven't insulted him. I've not. I'm just I haven't accused him of being a Geordie.
There you go.
That's it. I'm going now.
So, Ian, anything you'd like to say? Get off your chest. Shout out any. You've mentioned Wendy Chapman. That's kind of a shout out.
Yeah.
I guess Wendy hangs out at both your Facebook group, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah,
and,
she's
and ours as well.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to. I find a link for her for Instagram. Maybe she has a webpage. I'll put that in the show notes, so everyone can check out Wendy. This show is all about you, Wendy. You didn't even realize it. Here we are.
This is the Wendy Chapman Show.
Yeah, but
I think I did. I think I messaged her and said, "Hey, you want to come on and talk to us?" And she was a bit shy about it. So maybe. Maybe next year, in the new year, the podcast, Lenses Podcast New Year, which starts in April.
Yeah. Get off to a bang with her.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would
so
be
great.
Where
can we find, where do we send folks to come and view your work?
You can look on the Pinhole Photography Workshops website under my gallery, Ian's Gallery. Or you can go to the. I do have a WordPress website where I do more sort of blog material, and that's at ianburtonphotography.wordpress.com.
Is that Edge of Reality?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And then on Flickr.
Flickr is Genius Jedson. You'll find me under.
Yeah.
I don't use. That an awful lot. I mean, I can't remember the last time I actually uploaded anything to Flickr, but I do have quite a few pinhole images there amongst my other classical landscapes.
I'll put the links to all four of those in the show notes too. So,
and yeah,
put them on the Facebook group page. Yep. All
and,
right.
Corey, where do folks go to see your?
Right now, I'm just pretty much doing Instagram. I haven't posted anything in a while on Instagram. I'm Pinhole Cannon, but I've got some stuff coming, and it's going to be exciting. Mm. Yeah. And the Facebook group.
You've now got a month to think about it.
I've got a lot of stuff that I've been shooting. I mean, I've been shooting not a lot, but I've been kind of steady at it. Mm. Not really any 120 stuff, and it's kind of changed my whole flow. You know, I have to get out and make prints. I have to get out and make prints before I can either just take a picture of them, you know, and just share them.
Yeah, I can't scan 4 or 5. I can't scan easily, so I have to get my enlarger to do it, either contact prints or in the enlarger.
Right.
That's okay.
I like it. I mean, it's... A little slower than normal, you know. You can't do the developing straight to scan, but I kind of like it. Everything kind of sits around and simmers a little bit before I jump right in, you know. So, anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, I've got prints. I've got small prints lying around the darkroom at the moment, and just a little series of things I'm working on. And it's quite nice to just go in there and I pick one up, walk outside in the sunshine, and think, well, or in the daylight, not sunshine, and think, because then you can start to assess things, and I put it back and. Make a few more prints and see how they all start fitting together.
How do you print out in the sunlight like that?
No, I just take the print out into the sunlight.
Andrew. All right. So we're getting crazy now, but
if anyone's not aware, they can find the Lensless Podcast. We have a lovely Facebook group, as do the Pinhole Workshops. So we have many of the same people, I think.
Yeah.
Hops backwards and forwards,
and the Pinhole Workshop does a monthly, a fun little contest. Yeah, that I've won, and Andrew hasn't won, so it's really fun. But check that out; it's it's definitely fun. Yeah,
yeah. The next one will be good.
What's the next one?
Yeah, it's Anamorphic
the subject, that. So yes, that'll be an interesting one to see what comes in.
Oh, I maybe get truffle cam out.
Bon.
Maybe.
And
there we go.
Well, yeah.
So cool. Corey, let's wind this show down.
Okay. Well, like I was saying, we're at the beginning. We're going to be taking a little bit of break. We'll be gone for a couple of weeks, but we are coming back.
4 weeks? Yeah. No. A couple is two.
Exactly. A few is three. For a gaggle of weeks.
Don't say a couple, gone because a gaggle people...
of weeks. A month. Yeah. Pretty much all of April. No, all of April, I guess.
I think so.
And we're coming back. So we'll hear from us again, I promise. Ian, thanks so much for coming. It's really nice talking to you. And
yeah, thank you so much, Ian.
Yeah, thanks for having me on board.
We'll get Andrew on.
It's nice to put a voice to an Instagram page. I'll post the picture of your and Andrew's profile pics from the Pinhole Photography Workshop page.
You might lose some people.
But yeah, so all the links will be in the show notes. And thanks so much for coming in. It was really nice talking to you.
No problem. Thank you very much.
It was.
Andrew?
Yes, mate.
Talk to you later.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. Yeah. All right.
Bye, everybody.
Have a great April, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.
It's where the founding fathers all went.
And I am actually one of the
convicts.
I won one of those. I won one of the. I won. I got to pick one of the month's photography contest.
Yeah, you didn't. Then you didn't pick me, so I haven't entered any since.